As you can see on the board, we have two readings this morning, the first being from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. And then we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching."
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, Clay, and good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. Great to be here together on this Sunday morning. You know, every single Sunday morning, all Christians wake up to face the very same choice. And that choice is, will I or won't I go to join with God's people today? Will I heed the call to come and gather? Will I make the effort to go to church? And for every single one of us, that choice involves a range of different factors. Factors of health and of age, life situation and family, factors of location and other commitments, of tradition and culture and attitude. And so we might ask ourselves, and this is our hot topic today, we might ask ourselves why it's so important to attend church regularly. And the reason why this topic is so hot is because even within my lifetime, the thinking on this matter has changed quite dramatically. You see, there was a time when the general attitude toward church attendance was very much driven by a kind of legalism. When I grew up, the main reason we always went to church was because we always went to church. And there was never really any thought given to any other option. This wasn't just in my own family or my local congregation or even my denomination. It was in fact common across much of Christianity. Contributing to this was the fact that other possibilities were actually few and far between. Apart from essential services, no one really worked on Sunday. Shops were closed. Other events were scarce. Sunday sport was unusual. Even going away on holidays was rare when I was a child. Now, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with having a strong tradition of church going. But it can lead to issues, can't it? This kind of legalism can lead to an idea that attendance is more important than faith. It's whether you're there that matters, not what lies within your heart. This kind of legalism can lead to a judgmental outlook. They're not here enough, so they can't be proper Christians. And this kind of legalism can also lead to a good dose of self-righteousness. Well, I'm always here, twice every Sunday, so the Lord must be especially pleased with me. But as I said, the thinking on this matter has changed. And in Christianity today, there's far less risk of a legalistic attitude. Instead, and possibly in reaction to the past, there's now a far greater risk of an attitude which I would like to call laxity, of slackness and apathy. Today, you're far more likely to hear people say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but church attendance is not high on my agenda. It's more of an optional extra. I might go if I have nothing better to do, and even then, only if I feel like it. I mean, after all, we're busy people. And surely God wouldn't deny us a sleep-in and a lazy Sunday and some well-earned time to ourselves." And as a result, it's not unusual to find Christians who are absent from their church family more than they are present. Some will happily find any excuse to be away, no matter how flimsy. Some will even intentionally make commitments, even long-term commitments, knowing full well that it will separate them from their church. It may be taking unnecessary shifts at work. It may be children's sport and other activities. It may even be going on excessive amounts of holidays and weekends away. But laxity too leads to serious issues. For friends, I cannot think of even one example where a person has drifted from God's people and this has led to an increase in their faith and their spiritual well-being. And I can't think of even one example where a church has benefited from its members being less committed and attending less often. Can I just add that this whole matter of laxity escalated after COVID? I'm so incredibly thankful that our own congregation has been largely unaffected. But that doesn't mean that the temptation isn't there. For there have been many Christians for whom the forced non-attendance of lockdown became an enjoyable routine, and who now feel quite satisfied to simply view church online like a TV show, or maybe not even that. And so within my own lifetime, there has been a big shift in attitude toward the whole matter of going along to church on a Sunday. Where once there was a tendency toward legalism, now there is a tendency toward laxity. And that forces us, doesn't it, to stop and to consider. What should my attitude really be? Why is it so important to attend church regularly? And I want to answer this question by considering various reasons why it's so vitally important for Christians to gather, just like we are here this morning, and to do so whenever they are able to. And we're going to find those answers, those reasons, not in human tradition, not in human opinions, but we will find them in the only source of real truth, the Word of God. And so reason number one, why it is important, is that it's important to attend church regularly, because that is the completely natural outcome of being saved by Jesus Christ. And we see this so beautifully illustrated in Acts chapter 2, the first passage that Rob read for us. We're on the day of Pentecost, aren't we, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the New Testament church was born. And the Apostle Peter is preaching the gospel with power. And in our reading, he concludes his message saying, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He proclaims that Jesus is the one who gave his life on the cross to become our Saviour and our King. When the people heard this, it says, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and they pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Oh, what a marvelous occasion that must have been. So many people believing in Jesus for the salvation of their souls. But what happens next? Did they all go off on their merry way, thankful but keen to get back to their own busy lives? Verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you see? These verses are just full of fellowship and togetherness and sharing and meeting. There was no question of staying away. They just couldn't get enough. These people had experienced the glorious redemption of their Lord Jesus Christ, and now they longed more than anything to be together with his people. It was completely natural. That's why, as the book of Acts continues, we see more churches being planted and grown. And then the rest of the New Testament, it's letters written to those churches, telling them what to teach and how to live together. And in the end, the book of Revelation describes how at the final times it will be the church that is prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, ready for eternal life. My friends, the Bible simply does not know of any form of Christianity that is lived in isolation. The Bible simply does not know of any form of Christianity that is separated from the real everyday life of God's people gathered, just as we are here today. Being a regular part of church is the natural outcome of being saved. But what about us? Is it still the natural outcome for you? Maybe it once was, but now you've become a bit jaded. Maybe you've let worldly priorities get in the way a bit too often. Maybe you've been disappointed by the church and you're not so interested anymore. Well, I want to invite you to rediscover this glorious truth today, to recapture the enthusiasm of the day of Pentecost, to recapture the joy you had when you first believed. For how could we know Jesus and his incredible love, but yet not deeply desire to be part of his precious church? May that be our first motivation to be here together whenever we are able. But now reason number two. It's important to attend church regularly because that is God's own will for our lives. And here we move to that other reading from Hebrews chapter 10. This is now years later when many churches had been established and the author is writing to one of them. And he reminds them of who they truly are in Christ, that they're reconciled to God only by Jesus' atoning sacrifice. And so he says it is essential to keep hoping in him right to the end. But yet it seems that when it came to standing firm in faith, that this church, that they were forgetting the value of gathering together. Verses 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Some just weren't meeting anymore. They once did, but they stopped, and it had become a habit. And how true to life that is. It starts with just once. Let's stay home today. We can't face it. We need a break. Then it happens again. Then it happens again. Until quite literally, it becomes our habit. We start shaping our lives not around going, but around not going. It becomes a new tradition for us. And our traditions are hard to break. But God says, no, that's not my will for you. God says, I'm the one who saved you and will keep you to the very end. But the way I do that is through my precious church. And so the choice isn't yours. You simply must be part of it. You need to be there. It's so important to go to church because that is God's own will for your life. He doesn't just suggest it. He doesn't just urge it. But in this passage, he commands it. For he loves his church. He gave his life for his church. And he uses his church to be a rich blessing to all of his people. So being a regular part of it is simply crucial. But that brings us to reason number three. It's important to attend church regularly because it's our opportunity to worship the Lord together. Now, in saying this, we need to avoid two extremes. First of all, we should never think that what happens here together on a Sunday is the only time that we can or should worship God. Worship is part of our whole lives. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your very bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." But secondly, we should never think that because worship is all of life, that what we do here on a Sunday is then unimportant. Back in Acts chapter 2, you just can't miss, can you, how worship was central to their gatherings. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, that's separating the Lord's Supper. And they devoted themselves to prayer. And they were together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God together. I think Psalm 34 helps us with this balance. In Psalm 34, David says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." That's worship in all of life. But then he says, "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That is worship with each other. Friends, we can praise God on our own, but there's nothing quite as special and as wonderful as doing so together here at Riverbank. That's why when we meet here, we're not just coming to hear some kind of musical performance. And we don't just come here to sing some nice songs together. Oh no, my friends, we come here to join in praising and glorifying and exalting our Saviour for all that He has done. And not only in our singing, but in our prayers and our giving and our readings and our sacraments. In fact, everything we do here. My friends, this is not a service with some worship. This is a worship service. And so in every part, we want to glorify God. And you simply cannot do that if you aren't here. It's so important to attend church regularly because it's our opportunity to worship the Lord together. But now reason number four. It's important to attend church regularly because it's the place where we grow through the targeted preaching of God's word. Now, just as with worship, there's nothing to stop us from reading and studying the Bible on our own, even hearing sermons and messages on our own. And I certainly hope that you do that. It's a great thing to do. But yet that does not negate the vital importance of the word as it is preached here on a Sunday. Looking again at Acts chapter 2, the very first thing said there is that this new church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This was fundamental to their meetings. But over time we discover that as more churches were formed, that central to each and every one was biblical preaching by those who were suitably qualified. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells his protege, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." You see, my friends, we can always stay home and listen to a podcast or watch some preacher on the telly or whatever. And the message will probably be a lot fancier than anything you'll hear up here. But what you won't get is a message from someone who knows you and who loves you. Someone who's been thinking and praying about you as they prepared. What you won't get is a message that has been planned by God specifically for this congregation. A message He wants all of us to consider and share in and respond to together. You see, the Lord has a plan for Riverbank. He wants to change us and transform us. He wants to teach us and mature us. He wants to equip us and to use us. And He will do that. He will do that through all those separate contacts we have with His word through the week. But yet His primary means is through the preaching and teaching that happens as we gather here on a Sunday. And so if you're not present, then His work is actually impeded. Friends, it's just so important to attend church regularly because it's where we grow through the targeted preaching of God's word. Now to reason number five. It's important to attend church regularly because it's the launch pad for our care for one another. Do you remember what was also happening in Acts chapter 2? The believers were devoted to fellowship with each other. They were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It was their gathering that enabled them to do all these things. And what about in Hebrews chapter 10? Do you remember the primary motivation to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing? The author tells us it's so we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's so we may encourage one another, and all the more, as we see that final day approaching. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that the New Testament is just full of those one another statements. Love one another, comfort one another, honour one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, and so many more. And all of these apply not just somewhere out there, but they apply in the context of the real and local church. You see, friends, the Bible's message is that as believers, we need each other so much. You may not think so when life is smooth sailing. You may think you can do it all alone. But how quickly that changes. Because there are times when we suffer grief, when we feel loneliness, when we go through doubts and have deep struggles, when we experience conflict, when we go astray. We find that we need help and support. And that's when we realize just how much we need each other. But we cannot love and care for those we do not know. We cannot pray for and build up and encourage those who keep their distance. We simply cannot be a one another church for those who are not here. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that all our caring can happen here in this building on a Sunday, not even close. But that's why I call this our launch pad. It's where we actually come and see each other and get to know each other and hear what's going on in each other's lives. It's where we can extend hospitality, where we can get someone onto the meal train, where we can organise a visit, where we can invite them to our growth group. And that's why, as important as this formal part of our worship services may be, what happens beforehand and what happens afterward is equally vital. It makes me so sad when people turn up at the last minute and then rush off at the first opportunity, because it short circuits God's plan for us to be a loving church. Why should you be here regularly? My friends, because this is the launch pad for our care for one another. Now, to be honest with you, friends, there's still so much more I could say. Time is against us. I could still talk about how it's important to attend church regularly because this is the avenue for us to use our spiritual gifts, and how vital that is for the health of the whole community, the whole body of Christ. As a rule, those who do not come also do not serve, and the whole church suffers. I could talk about how it's important to attend church regularly because it's just so vital for the spiritual and the eternal well-being of our children. For this is where they come in contact with the love and the guidance and the example of God's people. And trust me, friends, if church isn't important to you, then it's going to be even less important to your kids. I could talk about how it's important to attend church regularly because it encourages and facilitates us in our outreach. I mean, being here sends a message to the world about our priorities. Being here enables us to connect with newcomers and also to invite others along. Being here alerts us to opportunities. Being here reminds us of the great commission in which we share. And I could also talk about how it's important to attend church regularly because it ties you into the life of the congregation and the journey that we're on. For it's when you come that you hear about our joys and our sorrows, our successes and our failures, about our projects and our plans, about our vision and our mission. And there are so many more. I could talk about how it's important to attend church because of the encouragement that is to others, to those who are busy in ministries, for you or for your children, the encouragement it is to me as a pastor. And my friends, I could talk about how it's so important to attend church regularly because church gives us a taste of heaven and of the glory that's to come. And there are so many other good reasons I could mention as well. But friends, I hope then what we have covered, that you've seen that there really are so many great and significant reasons why we just need to gather together as God's people and to do so whenever we are able. Now, don't get me wrong, there are always times when we can't attend. It would be foolish to think that we would ever all be here at the same time. For a start, there are some who can never be with us because of health or other reasons. And that's why we try to do what we can to keep them part of the family. And others will be sick for a time, or they'll have an unavoidable commitment, or they're away for work or on a holiday. And that's all perfectly normal and understandable. But my friends, the issue this morning isn't so much about our circumstances, but it's about the attitude that lies behind them. Because we all know for ourselves what really drives our decisions in this area. And the Lord looks at the heart and he sees what's going on within you and within me. And so I want to challenge you this morning, just as I challenge myself, to consider what actually is your attitude toward the gathering of God's people. If you're tempted by an attitude of legalism, then I want to urge you to focus less on church attendance as being something that is required and more as something that is desired. Not a rule to be kept, but a yearning of your heart. And if you're here this morning and you're tempted instead by an attitude of laxity, then I want to appeal to you to think less about coming along as something that's despised and more as something that is prized. Not something to get out of, but a treasure because it's so valuable in your life. And for all of us, I'd simply encourage you to pray and to ask God to develop in you an ever deeper longing to meet with his people, be committed to his fellowship, to value your church family more and more and more. Because it's just so important. It's important for your own spiritual health. It's important as you contribute to the well-being of others. It's important as we join together to glorify our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please forgive us for those times in our lives when we've had a wrong attitude toward your church. Lord, those times when we haven't wanted to be part of it, when we've pulled away, when we've made every excuse. Father, forgive us when we have come, but yet we've come with the wrong motivations. Lord, please help us to see that as people who have been saved by the blood of your own Son, that we should be compelled to join with your redeemed community. Because, Lord, despite all of our differences, that is what we share. That we are your children, saved by your grace, saved by your mercy, saved by Jesus. Lord, help us to see that this here is no human invention, but rather that what we have here today is your most valuable gift to us. Lord, help us to see the important reasons why we should be here whenever we can. And Lord, we pray most of all, please work in our hearts that our desire would grow and that more and more we would experience the glorious blessings of being a regular part of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.